Welcome to minute 63 of season 10 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again for this Wednesday episode is the father-daughter dynamic duo, Joe and Cassie Tura. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Holy mackerel. Thank you, Rob.
No, you should have said holy macaroni again. There you go.
That's... Oh, holy macaroni. Oh, I'll come up with a better one.
I forgive you. I forgive you. We'll find a way to find forgiveness here. Why not? You deserve that. You deserve it.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly. All right, so minute 63 begins with Blue finishing his threat and ends with the second cop getting a little confused. So yeah,
love that second cop.
Yeah, seriously, the way that this minute is going to go is going to be very interesting. You know, we'll have to wait and see where it goes. But so we ended things yesterday with Blue giving his instructions on what is needed in order to for them to get the money. You know, it's actually quite interesting that he didn't give these instructions before. You'd think he would have given all the instructions. On the one hand, you know, he doesn't want to tip his hat too much, but on the other hand, you know, if you're giving instructions, then you might as well give the instructions.
I guess it's also like if you give them too much of your plan ahead of time, then maybe there's a better chance that they catch you along the way. So, you know, give them instructions bit by bit. Mm-hmm. You know,
I understand.
Like, not just like, trying to put myself in the mind of a criminal mastermind, I guess.
Oh, great.
You never.
Well, then I can retire early. Yeah.
Well, just don't sneeze too much.
Right, exactly. If you have a cold, switch it to a different day.
That's right. Don't do it if it's not going to work. Yeah. No, I don't think so. All right. So at this point, Blue, he started yesterday at the end of the minute by giving a little bit of a threat by saying, any wrong move by anybody, and I kill a hostage. And then it's great because we get a shot of Garber, and you know, like, he just basically grumbles. I don't know if he's grumbling to himself or if he actually wants someone to hear it, but he says, well, I could have guessed that part. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday, that we have everyone else blurred in the background, paying attention as Garber's taking care of all the stuff. And at this point, Blue goes, you've got 5 minutes to deliver the money. And then Garber goes, you don't really think you're going to get out of there, do you? And basically, Blue just doesn't respond. He goes, it's now 3:14. You've got until 3:19. Over. And Garber goes, over. And then, like, he cuts off the mic and goes, bastard.
I love, he says it just like my mother used to say it, bested, with the New York accent. It's like, yes, my mother had a big Queens accent. So, yes, love that.
Yeah. I'm so confused as to why Blue wants Green in the cab with him at all times. Do you have any insight in as to why? Because again, maybe this guy has a cold and he's sneezing, so you'd think that he would have picked him out already. But he still constantly wants him there. Now we do get facial expressions from Martin Balsam, which are very helpful to us, because we see that he's somewhat relieved, somewhat sympathetic. You know, he wants everything to go smoothly. He's not as cold as Blue is. But on the other
hand, because when he says he's going to kill a hostage, he gives that weird, like, disapproving look, right, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I don't know if it's 'cause like he's the one that like knows he knows trains. So like I guess in case anything goes awry with the train, like I guess he's there, but I don't know.
It's actually a good
Like it's
guess.
kind of yeah, like that's like his like I guess for this particular thing he would be kind of his second in command because he's the one who knows about trains. So
Well, I don't know if you
I
would think
guess it
of
would
his
make
second in
sense.
command.
Well, no, maybe
Yeah,
not like second in command, but like you know what I
he is
mean? Like
the
he's
low
like
man on the totem pole.
yeah.
There's no
Yeah,
question about that.
but I guess I don't know. I guess he's with him because he knows trains. He's the one that yeah.
I mean, of the three, he's definitely the most trustworthy, and he's the least, the other two are kind of like loose cannons,
Yeah, I was
especially
gonna
Gray,
say he's
but
like the least of a loose cannon.
True, but I also look at it from the perspective that why does he need to have someone else there with him? That's the thing. It's already cramped. I mean, again, thankfully Danny Doyle's not there anymore because that was really cramped. But still, even having the two of them in there, this is a compartment that's made for one person, and that's it. You don't need
True.
extra people. You don't need like it's not as if Green is going to be giving Blue any type of insight into what needs to be done or anything like that. So my guess is he's there because he's got nothing better to do.
Yeah,
No, because I
that's
was just
true.
because he can't stand
Yeah,
and guard.
that's
He's
true.
not going to be there to guard
Yeah.
the other hostages because what does he
Because
know?
he's not very threatening.
No.
Yeah.
Well, he's not threatening
True. Yeah.
because he probably wouldn't even know how to use his machine gun if he needs to.
Oh, no.
Not at all. And it,
Not
plus,
at all.
if he sneezes on the other passengers and they get sick, that I mean, that might
Well,
lessen the
yeah, that's
ransom.
true. There might be like a COVID epidemic on the train,
See, maybe COVID was
Yeah.
around in 1974 and we didn't know.
That's
Who
right.
knows?
It's very possible. But then again, Blue's not concerned, so I
He probably got vaccinated. It's all good.
don't know. I'm not
It's
touching that.
part of
I'm
his
not
plan.
touching that at all. And then the shot changes, and we're back on the New York City, right in the center of Manhattan. And we get the two motorcycle cops getting close to the 20th Street station. You see, like a guy just sitting on the divider, smoking a cigarette, which is very funny. Like I don't know why he's doing that, and then we pass a bus that on the bus it has an ad for Seagram's Seven Crown, and it says
Oh
it's
gosh, yes.
America's favorite. So what do you know about Seagram's Seven Crown?
All
Actually,
right, I know
let's
that
ask Cassie first.
yeah, all right. See if Ca see Cassie, let's see if you know if Seagram's gives a memory to you.
I
Come on.
know what?
Come on,
I know
see.
Seagram's is a I know that it's like a ginger ale. I know that oh they do make alcoholic beverages. I know that. And I don't
Do you know someone that worked for Seagram's? Yes, well, you never met him, but you do know of him.
Grandpa Ted?
No.
Oh. Who worked for Seagram's?
Your mother's grandpa.
Grandpa Sam? I didn't know he worked for Seagram's.
Yeah, we have that one towel that we bring out every once in a while for
Oh
something.
my gosh, that's so cool. That's what he did after immigrating.
Yeah, he worked for many years for Seagram's, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea that that's what he did when he came off the boat from
Yes.
Malta. I had
Yeah.
no clue.
All right.
Yeah,
Very
well,
cool.
eventually, I mean, I don't know the whole history, but yeah.
That's crazy.
All right. So, Joe, what can you tell me about it?
I can tell you that when I was on the Arista trip in high school, I smuggled a bottle of Seagram's on the trip and got drunk, and they almost didn't let me graduate, but I had a good record, so they did let me
Oh, wow.
graduate. So, yeah, that's it was one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
But it gives you an anecdote to talk about on this
Oh, God. Yeah,
podcast.
and I don't think I've had. I don't think I've drank Seagram's to this day.
Because you're scared of getting expelled?
Yes, I am. Expelled from the bar, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like a good 7 and 7, though. Yummy. Seagram's and 7 Up. Oh, so good.
So you have had it?
So I have, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I think you said you haven't had since then. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Because I'm misremembering, I guess. I've had it at
7 and 7 recently, and therefore,
it's been a couple years. It's been
Dad, I've never seen you have any 7 Up in my life.
Yeah, I don't, just because I don't drink soda anymore. It's been at least 22 years since I've had one, let's just say. So before she was born. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
but they are young.
Do you have any idea in what year the Seagram Company was founded?
Wow.
My gosh, was this on the food that built America?
I'm going to say
being that it's Canadian, it probably isn't on that show.
Oh my gosh, it's such a good show. It's my favorite thing on the History Channel. I would say maybe like the early to mid 1800s, maybe.
All right, and it's 1857, so that's pretty good.
Oh, nice. Good job.
So it was founded in Waterloo, Ontario in 1857. And in 1928, it was bought up by the Canadian-based Distillers Corporation, which was run by the Bronfman family. And basically, at the end of Prohibition in 1933, they had plenty of stuff ready to sell to the American market, which had just reopened, obviously.
Nah.
So in 1934, they launched the 5 and 7 Crown blended whiskeys to the U.S. market. The 5 Crown was discontinued in 1942, and therefore the 7 Crown became its iconic brand that Joe Tura was able to smuggle, on his trip.
Yes.
It was the Seagram 7 Crown was the first spirit brand in U.S. history to sell 1 million cases. And by 1983, they had sold over 300 million cases. And it became one of the most successful blended whiskeys ever. In the 70s, that was the peak of when Seagram's 7 Crown became a success. In 1970, they sold 32 million cases. And then that's when they also came up with the idea of 7 and 7 cocktail, which is a combination of Seagram 7 Crown with 7-Up Lemon Lime. And it's a highball drink that became a staple in bars. And you had it very often in movies and TV shows and stuff like that where, characters would ask for a 7 and 7. In the 80s and 90s, people started enjoying more vodka and rum. So, the 7 Crown whiskey went into decline, even though it's still, ever since, still remains a popular and affordable whiskey.
So next time I go to the bar, I'm going to order a 7 and 7 and see if the bartender looks at me like I have 9 heads. Says, what? Just for fun. Yes.
Now, do you know what day is the National Dive Bar Day?
Oh, God. I wish I did know because I must attend.
I'm gonna give you a hint. It's connected to what we were just talking about.
Is it July 7th?
Oh, yes, it is. Nice.
Very good, Kathy.
I was thinking that before you even gave the hint. I was like, wow, I wonder if it's July 7th because 7-7.
That's right. Very good. Just like, you go to 7-Eleven on July 11th. And,
yes.
Yeah.
That bus just goes by really quickly.
Mm.
And we then see the two motorcycle cops show up. And they get greeted by the borough commander, who screams, well, it's about fucking time.
This is like one of my favorite scenes. It's just unbelievable. Kenneth McMillan, unbelievable.
Yes.
So
he's great here.
Fantastic.
He's great throughout this movie. And then he calls over the you know thing one and thing two.
Yeah.
And he goes, "You two, get the money out of there." And he goes, "Which one has the flashlight?" All right. And one of them like picks up that he has a flashlight. All right. Then you carry the money. He goes, "Yes, sir."
He shoves it right in his gut. I love it.
That's it. And he goes, "Give me that paper. Now move it." And he goes, "You got 4 minutes." One of them, like, then they start, like, saluting. He goes, "Never mind the goddamn salutes. Just get going. Get going." And you get to see in the background that there's a restaurant behind them. Did you notice what restaurant is there?
Oh, I did notice that, and I did not write it down.
Okay, it's the Belmore Cafeteria.
Hmm.
Okay. And the Belmore Cafeteria has become very iconic over the years. It was located at Park Avenue South and 20th Street. It was an iconic New York establishment that was known as being a haven for cabbies, and is prominently featured in two very famous 70s movies. One of them being this one. Any clue what the other one would be? And I just gave you a hint.
From the 70s?
Who hangs out there?
Oh, cabbies hang out there.
Taxi driver.
Taxi driver.
Taxi driver. Very good. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, in Taxi Driver, that's where Travis Bickle meets his friend Wizard, played by Peter Boyle, and a whole bunch of other drivers, you know, having a whole bunch of conversations there and stuff like that. It was open for over 50 years until it closed down. And it's, you know, there's something else there now. It's no longer, you know, the Belmore Cafeteria. But, yeah. It's cool that you get to see these things just like jump out every so often.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, at this point, then we hear a whole bunch of people like jeering in the background.
Rightly so.
And then the borough commander goes, "Jesus, it's the goddamn mayor."
And the hands on the hips just makes it. Makes the whole scene right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Completely. And I love how like everyone turns around when they hear the, you know, they hear someone coming and there's like jeering. There's like
yes.
Around.
Yes.
That's, oh my god.
That's New York. Yes.
When they start booing the mayor, I was like, typical New Yorkers.
Oh yeah.
That's right. And then the shot changes and we're in the tunnel again, and we see a light coming towards us. And you know, as the figures with the light get closer, we notice that it's the two cops that we just saw before. Maybe we'll call them Toodledum and Toodledee. And one of them says, "You get the feeling we ain't alone down here?" The other one looks at him and goes, "What do you mean?" "What do you mean?" And we're gonna have to wait until tomorrow to find out actually what it is that they mean.
Yes.
But what's great is as they're walking down, we do see like people popping out, you know, in like riot gear behind you know, different like beams and stuff like that. But they don't seem to really notice that. They feel a presence, but they don't see who it is.
Actually, cops are doing a decent job there.
Yeah, sort of. They're doing a decent job of keeping themselves a secret.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
Let's say the actor that plays Tweedledum, of course, is the immortal Sal Viscuso, who played Father Flotsky on Soap, one of the greatest TV shows ever.
Yes. I'm trying to remember him on Soap. I mean, I do know Soap. You know, interesting.
Yeah, he was. I believe he was a kind of a tortured soul on priest, on Soap, as the priest. So yeah, was he in love with one of the daughters? Maybe, I think so.
I don't remember it that well.
Yeah, I'm trying. I used to watch it like we used to watch it every week. I probably should not have been watching it as a, but you know, child of the 70s could watch anything. So, yeah, he was good on the show. It was so good. But he's great
Yeah,
here too. So.
I would never been able to place him because of the fact that he's credited as Patrolman O'Keefe.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever mention his name, so I wouldn't have guessed that. Which also means that I have no idea who the other one is, because you have
Yeah, no, me neither.
Patrolman Miskowski or Patrolman Wentworth or Patrolman Ricci. Could be any of them.
Yeah.
But thank you for pointing out that that's Sal Viscuso. That's very helpful.
Ironic, the Italian guy they have as an Irish cop, O'Keefe, so.
Right. Well, they're actors. That's what they're
This is
supposed to
true,
be.
yes. I
True.
can branch out. I can play Irish
That's right.
for 2.5 minutes.
And he's still acting. He still has
I
credits
know. I know. I
from
couldn't believe that when I looked
2024
that up.
2023. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his 70s. He's 77. Last month he turned 77 in October. So
Ah, excellent. Excellent. Good to hear.
That's all I have for this minute. Do you either you have anything else you wanted to mention?
Cass, you good?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
The only other thing I would say is, you know how we said time could be a drinking game. I think you can almost throw in goddamn too, because especially in this minute, you'd drink some shots of Seagram's every time they say goddamn, and you'd be out after this minute.
That's true.
I'm gonna
I
have to
definitely would be
buy a
out.
bottle of
I can't hold my liquor, so I don't drink.
I'm gonna have to buy a bottle of Seagram's and
And some Seven Up,
rewatch
Dad.
that's right, and rewatch the movie. There you
There you go.
go.
Drink some seven and sevens.
I just won't tell my guidance counselor.
You never know.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, we have a segment called Hijack Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five movies featuring some sort of hijack. So, Joe, I think it's your turn to be the first.
Yes.
Why don't you start with your
All
number
right.
five?
So I have three honorable mentions quickly. Passenger 57, which is great. United 93, which is fantastic, but I don't know if I could ever watch it again. As great as it is.
I've seen it
But
like 13 times. Okay, and I
wow.
just watched it again, 2 months ago on September 11th. I try to watch it every year on September 11th.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, I'll have to watch it again. It was so good though. Just a really well done film. But the most important honorable mention, I couldn't put this in my top five because it's the worst movie I think I've ever seen in the theaters. Not the worst movie I've ever seen. But Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Oh,
An
God.
absolutely horrendous movie. But it was the first date that I went on with my future wife and still current wife. That was our first date. We went to the Bayside
I was
movie
going to ask you
theater.
if your wife knows that you were on a date with your future wife.
That's funny. Somehow we were like, oh my God, we loved Speed, both of us. And we're like, oh, we got to go see it. And that was our first date. And somehow we survived. Our first date was June 29th, 1997, and we have lived to tell the tale. So, but anyway, that's my honorable mention. My number five, I'm going to go with Under Siege, which is one of the best Steven Seagal movies, which isn't saying much. But it's not really because of him that the movie's good. Tommy Lee Jones is excellent in it, and there's a great supporting cast. Gary Busey is just hilarious through the whole movie, I think. So, well, he's hilarious in every movie. But yeah, I would go number five is Under Siege.
All right, excellent. Cassie.
So for this one, I actually, oddly enough, have honorable mentions. So just real quick, Speed 2 is on there for me because I figured I wouldn't be here without that movie. So I might not have seen it, but without it, I wouldn't be here. So you know what? Speed 2 deserves an honorable mention purely for that. And then also, the Penguins of Madagascar movie that I saw when I was a kid start they hijack a plane, the penguins. So I feel like that's pretty cool. And I would like to make the argument that The Exorcist is a hijack movie. The demon hijacks a body, but we don't have to debate that. But that's just my honest opinion that it could be considered a hijacking if you think about it. And you're not just talking about transportation.
Wow. Okay.
But my I don't know, I feel like that's a good argument. But
That's her Catholic education coming into play.
but my number five is Die Hard 2, which I've seen a majority of. That's why it's like number five. I still haven't seen the whole thing all the way through, but I've seen a majority of it, and I love the first Die Hard, and Die Hard 2, it's probably the best sequel out of all of them. So, I that's my number five.
Okay, should I ask if you've listened to a podcast about it or not
I did not listen to that season of yours,
really?
no.
Okay.
But
We still have to get we have to get her mom to listen to it because Die Hard is her favorite movie of all time. So
all right.
yeah,
It's still there.
it is.
It's not going anywhere.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes. Huh.
And then my and then I do number four now, right?
Yes.
So my number four is a movie I watched in high school, my senior year, in my social justice class. It crashed from 2004, I think. And I mean, it's not like the best movie, but I feel like the messages in it were like powerful, and like the fact that like I got to watch that in a social justice class and like learn about like that aspect of it like was really interesting. So that's why that one's my number four.
Okay, is there a hijack in that?
It was on a list of hijack movies, so I
Okay.
was like, okay. I mean, look, I watched it like, oh my gosh, how many years ago is that? Like 5 years ago. So I don't remember all the
Okay.
details, but like it was on the list and I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, like that was I liked it.
Okay.
Not the
Fair
best,
enough.
but yeah.
I feel like that movie hijacked my time. I'm not a
I
fan.
would agree with you on that one. I'm not a
Yeah.
fan of that movie.
All
Okay.
right, so my number four would be the always a good time to watch Con Air, just for the performances alone are just so much fun. Everybody's great. I mean, from Nicolas Cage to John Malkovich, Steve Buscemi, it's just a lot of fun.
Okay, have you listened to Jan Mark's podcast about it?
No, I have not. No, I'm not. I'm too busy listening to some other guy's podcast most of the time.
I can't complain about that. You will not hear complaints from me.
I'll get to it one of these days,
Okay.
let's just say.
Fair enough.
It's on the list. It's on the list. I have to finish the Miami Minute first.
Okay. Well, you're oh
That's
wow.
another one, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
The Miami Connection. Oh my God. Wow. They don't, thank God they don't make movies like that anymore. All right, so Con Air number four, number three. I didn't really consider this a hijack movie till I heard other people say it, and I'm gonna go with the first original Speed.
Okay.
Just because it's so well done. It, just a great action movie that's just start to finish, holds your interest, and just absolutely great, great film.
Excellent. Okay. All right, Cassie, what is your number three?
So my number three is a movie that I believe starts with a hijacking. It's not really about a hijacking, I would say, but it does start with one, and that's The Dark Knight. Just because that's like a really awesome movie. So,
Which Dark
yeah.
Knight? The Dark Knight Rising?
I think it's just The Dark Knight, right, Dad?
No,
Or
Dark Knight.
Dark
Dark Knight Rising starts with Bane hijacks the
Right.
plane.
And
Yeah, okay, so yeah,
yes.
it is that one.
Right,
Okay.
because the Dark
Yeah.
Knight starts with
Yeah.
a
It's a
robbery.
really good movie. Okay, so yeah, it is The Dark Knight
I
Rising.
actually
Duh.
just
But yeah, no,
rewatched
that
it last week. Wow. Watched all three back to back to
Oh,
back to back.
really?
Nice.
And then my number two is something I watched for that animation class again. This like 1942, essentially like propaganda Superman little animated short film called Superman Japo Tours. And it's like these Japanese guys are like trying to hijack, I think it's like a plane or some type of like just like a super bomber type of thing, and like Superman comes in and saves the day, and you could tell it's like wartime World War II propaganda. But I just really enjoyed watching that for that class and getting to see like the old Superman cartoons, so in like Technicolor and everything, and so that's pretty cool.
That's actually really cool because a few months ago when the new Superman movie came out, so I watched a whole bunch of different Superman incarnations, and I saw at least one, if not more, of those movies from the 1940s with the Superman movies.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have copies now of all of them, and I just haven't gotten around to watching them. But you're right, there is one called Japators
Yeah.
from 1942. So yeah.
Yeah.
Now you see, now I have a reason to watch it. There you go.
Ah.
All right. Excellent. So, Joe, we're back to you at number two.
All right, so my number two is Executive Decision, which is another one of those movies that is just so great. I mean, another one, start to finish, just excellent, really well done. And the first, I remember the first time I watched it because I was working for the Columbia House Laserdisc Club. And that was a front cover selection. Every month you'd have the director selection and the front cover selection, which would
Wait,
get
you were one of those
a
people who
big
would send all
write-up.
those things that you, if you didn't send back, you had to pay for.
No, I'm one of the guys who, when you actually join the club and you read the magazines inside, I would write that stuff. So I wouldn't send it out, but if you actually join the club, you get to read my stuff. And the Laserdisc Club was fun because especially this was towards the beginning of me working there. Towards the end, the Laserdiscs were going out of style, so they didn't care. So we could do whatever we want. But yeah, it was one of the first front covers I wrote, and it's still watching the movie. It stuck with me since then, and just absolutely love it. And I also did a great write-up on it. So, but that's just
Very
me. And my number one is, of course, some little film set in New York in the 70s called The Taking of Pelham 123. I don't
No, I
know if
haven't
you've
seen
seen
that
it.
yet. I probably should try to
Okay.
check it out.
So, and that's it. That's it for
Okay.
me.
Yeah, that was also my number one pick, just because I feel like that's the best hijack movie I've seen, based on the traditional definition of a hijacking,
Yeah.
and not the more broad
Right. Okay,
definition
that's
that
fair.
is up for debate.
So it's not The Exorcist 2, The Heretic? No.
Not this time.
Oh, okay. All right. Just checking.
Exactly. All right, excellent. So now we will play the daily game of Name That Remake. So let's
All
spin the
right.
wheel again and see
Yeah.
what remake comes up for you guys this time. Round and round and round
All right.
it goes. Where did that
Cassie,
come from?
we need redemption for Tuesday.
I know. It's okay, Dad. We can't win them all.
No.
Okay. So the original movie came out in 1942. And it was remade in
Oh boy.
1983. Okay. And it's about a.
Oh, I have a
All
good
right, go
guess.
ahead.
Is it Always and a Guy Named Joe?
No. Oh,
Dang.
Always came out in 1989.
89. I knew it was
Yeah.
the 80s.
Late
Ah,
80s.
I gotta stop guessing.
Okay, so it's about an acting troupe who decide to put on a little ruse in order to try and track down a spy.
Oh. It's interesting.
Okay, both of these movies are comedies, if that helps.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay, good.
Dad, I feel like you love like these types of movies.
Yeah, I
This is
do.
like
I'm trying to
right
think.
up your
Acting.
alley,
Okay,
no?
the
I'm trying to think.
story in both of them takes place during World War II.
Yeah,
During
that
the very
I figured
beginning,
because the first one was in
during the very
1942.
beginning of World War II. They both take place in 1939.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. Is this what I think it is?
I don't know.
Is this to be or not to be?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now, how did I not know this? Because Jack Benny, of course, plays the great Polish actor Joseph Tura.
That's right.
So that is hilarious that I got that. Oh my God. So funny. Wow.
That's awesome.
Talk about like coincidence. Holy cow. Holy
Dad,
mackerel.
You're always talking about that.
I know, yes. Even wow.
And you see, that's fate, so fate cool. Gave us that one for you.
It did. That is so great. Yes. And I remember that's the part of the reason why I started buying comic books again after college is because I went to this comic book store in Forest Hills and I told the guy my name and he says, oh, like the great Polish actor. And I was like, what? I had no idea what he's talking about. He's like, oh, Jack Benny, 1942, to be or not to be, plays the great Polish actor, Joseph Tura. I was like, wow, okay. So, yeah. Oh, so cool. Oh.
That is
very
so funny.
Cool
I never made that connection. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it. Yeah. This is actually one of those remakes that I think works really well. I mean, Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
I love both of them. I think that both of these versions are great. Even though they tell almost exactly the same story, but Mel Brooks, the way that he tells the story, in some ways is a little more poignant. But I think that also has to do with the fact that he's doing it 40 years after World War II, as opposed to doing it during World War II, which, you know, it makes you wonder if Jack Benny and Lubitsch did it in order just to try to piss off Hitler at the time anyway.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. The same way that Charlie Chaplin did the same thing, you know, with The Great Dictator. I love both of these movies. So you see this. This breaks part of that mold of the fact that I don't like remakes, but
yeah, you know. yeah, and it's not a typical Mel Brooks film either.
No, it's not. It's not. And the truth is, I mean, as much as I love all of Mel Brooks' stuff, I think To Be or Not to Be is my favorite of his stuff. Though again, I'm a big fan of Spaceballs because of all the Star Wars and sci-fi stuff, and you know, I also love Blazing Saddles, and I also am a big fan of Young Frankenstein, but
yep.
To me, To Be or Not to Be is probably his best. It's just a lot of what happens. You know, the whole idea of you know putting a fake beard on a dead body. You know, it's like, where would you think of that?
Yeah, it's good. I haven't seen it in a while. I'm adding that to my list to watch. Definitely.
Dad, I guess I'll watch it with you.
Yes, we'll have to watch both.
Yes, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, awesome. All right. Very, so cool. Excellent. Wow.
So the famous Polish actor, Joseph Tura, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on my acting troupe. No.
As you're trying to get out of Warsaw.
Exactly, yes. You can find me on my blog, Von Luger's Butter, which, no, it's not to try to weed out the spies, don't worry. My blog, Von Luger's Butter, which is torafish.wordpress.com, or you can catch me on the socials, and definitely hit me up on Letterboxd. I need more friends to follow me because love Letterboxd, so much cool.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. So, until tomorrow.
Gesundheit.